You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Imagine if it wasn't, though.
I can't possibly imagine a world where that is true.
But you're just doing something else.
Nope. I refuse to imagine. You can't make me imagine things I don't want to imagine.
All right. Imagine you were listening to a better podcast.
Today we're going to be talking about the third serial of the 15th season of Doctor Who, Image of the Findal. Consists of four episodes that aired from October 29th, 1977 to November 19th, 1977.
True facts!
And I want to give a special shout out to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
You can follow him on Tumblr at mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. And today we have yet another new guest on the podcast. We've been having lots of new guests. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
Today we have Nicole Mazza of the Terminus podcast.
Yay!
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and your podcast.
I am a really big Doctor Who fan, which is relevant to this podcast. And because of that, I made my own podcast called Terminus. And it is basically me talking about Doctor Who episodes. And being a big nerd, I like the classic series and the new series and spinoffs and Big Finish. And yeah, I'm all over the place.
Fun. Well, that's generally the first question we ask. So is how much of it have you seen and heard and read and however else you consume Doctor Who media?
Well, I've definitely seen all the classic stories that you can see. And then I've seen a lot of reconstructions. And then I've seen the new series. I've read several of the books. I've listened to several Big Finish. There's so many Big Finish. It'd be impossible to hear them all. I've seen a lot of spinoffs. I love a lot of the spinoffs, especially from the Wilderness years.
Does that include the Peter Cushing? I know that's not from the Wilderness years, but...
Oh, I love those, actually. They're not usually considered part of that, but yeah, I have a really big soft spot for those, probably because I really love Peter Cushing, so I was a big Hammer Horror fan growing up, so they're not very popular in fandom, but...
They're so delightful, though.
I know! They're whimsical.
What's weird is I've actually seen multiple strangers that wear... the Doctor Who and the Daleks t-shirt that's like at the poster from the first movie.
Oh, yeah. They had that at Walmart a few years ago, and I was so surprised. And I remember I was trying to find it, and weirdly enough, just as a quick story, I was taking Andrew Cartmell around when we were at Con Casterbarus, and he was the script editor and kind of showrunner around the Seventh Doctor era, and he really wanted to go to Walmart. Like, he was like, oh my God, take me to Walmart. And I'm like, all right, you know, and so me and Hope took him to the Walmart in Huntsville, which we had to look on GPS because we'd never been to Huntsville. I told him I was looking for the shirt, but I'd given up, and he found them for me. He's like, look, here's the shirt. And I'm like, this is so surreal. I'm buying, because I bought a few of them, and I'm like, I'm buying these Doctor Who shirts in a Walmart with Andrew Cartmell, who's like a childhood hero of mine. This is so weird.
That's amazing. Awesome.
It was very bizarre.
How often do you drive around Doctor Who cast and crew?
Not generally, but him and I, we had talked a lot online. And so I was sitting with him at his table at that convention because he's like, here, pull up a seat. And I'm like, okay, sure. And then at the end of the day, he said, do you have a car? And I said, yeah. And he said, you wouldn't mind taking me around on some errands? And we said, sure. So we took him to like a bookstore and a liquor store. He was like getting gifts for people. It was very exciting.
That's pretty amazing. That's awesome.
Yeah, he's super sweet.
You and Alan Seiler just hanging out with people.
Yeah, he's way better at it than I am. I don't have as many stories as he does, but
you both have more than me. We just get to hang out with you because we did that this weekend. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a fun night.
We had dinner with the ESO network people.
Too much pasta.
Is that possible?
I mean, I've never eaten like pasta and been like,
that was too much.
No, I'm always like, it was too much. I was never like, I ate just the right amount of pasta. I'm not too full. I'm just satisfied. No, it's always like, why did I eat all that pasta?
I was proud of myself. I had one roll. I'm like, I'm going to have one or two rolls. And I actually substituted out my pasta in my dish. So it was hard, especially as an Italian American, not having pasta, but as a diet thing.
Pretty sure I had three rolls, so.
They're really good.
Yes, let's talk about Doctor Who.
Image of the Fandel, right?
Woo! Yes.
Let's do it.
All right. Episode one, which I actually have two titles for it.
I feel like whenever you have two titles,
yeah,
they're both equally weak.
I should just really concentrate on one of the titles.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, when you have two, I know that you've not put any effort into either of them. Like, you think it's like a quantity-quality thing.
Maybe. Well, here's the two I have.
All right.
I have The Volcanic Skull Anomaly.
I actually really like that one. I take everything back.
Sounds like a good band name.
The other one's not going to be as good. It's just The Sonic Shadow.
That sounds like a superhero, maybe.
It literally sounds like two characters from Sonic.
You're not wrong.
At least the first one could be like a band name or, I don't know, a derby name or something.
That would be a kick-ass derby name.
Oh, yeah, for those who don't know, both Tony and Nicole are derby ladies.
I am Scarface. I have a Doctor Who name.
I'm so close to being able to skate again. I don't know if we've talked about that on the podcast.
Oh, no, I don't think we have. You sprained your ankle.
I sprained my ankle. Like, and when I did it, everybody who knew that I was doing derby was like, I have no sympathy for you.
Aww.
Of course you sprained your ankle. And I was like, yeah, I know.
Well, actually, I have metal and screws in my ankle from like an old car wreck. And because I know a lot of derby girls also have that, I was like, well, that's awesome because they keep skating and they're okay. So that was a plus side for me. You can hurt your ankle, but go on and still skate. So it's not all bad.
This podcast is just going to become a roller derby podcast.
I would do a roller derby podcast. I think that would be excellent.
There's been three derby people on the show so far.
That's true. And two of them, we had Lex Terminate on.
And her and I have worked together several times. We're always the Daleks together, so.
What would the name of the derby podcast be?
Come back to me so I can think of something appropriately good.
Yeah, because if it's a derby name, you have to think long and hard about it. You can't just come up with one. Off the cuff, so.
I mean, someone could, but not me. I'm not clever enough for that.
I know one of my favorite derby names I ever heard was a girl in England skated as Dr. Hooligan, so it could be the Dr. Hooligans, but I don't know if that works.
That's a great name. The best derby name I've ever heard was Delia Derbyfire.
Oh, wow, yeah.
It was somebody at a bout that I didn't go to, and I was telling everybody I knew who was going to it. I was like, find that person and tell them I like their name.
Yeah.
Find that person and tell them I want to be friends with them.
I do remember Captain Smack Harkness at one point. That was pretty good.
The right. Watchathon of Rolling On.
No, that sounds like a deodorant podcast.
It does.
That's true.
We should probably talk about the episode.
Oh, right. Yeah.
As much as I could very easily turn this into a roller derby podcast, that just happens.
Okay, so we open on a skull that the scientists have found. There's two of them, Thea and Adam. Adam calls the skull Eustace, which I think is cute.
And he's mad about it, right?
Yeah, well, this is the volcanic skull anomaly of the title. It's from 12 million years ago, which shouldn't be
much
a thing.
Much too old.
Like, there shouldn't be a skull that far back. That they found it in a volcano stuff. Volcano stuff.
Volcano stuff.
That official scientific term, volcano stuff. And, okay, so I want to start off and say, there were parts of this serial where Tony and I were, it's not that we weren't enjoying it, but there were points where we were very confused by what's going on. And I want to say, the first confusing thing that happened for Tony probably happen right now. So we've got Thea and Adam. Thea's woman, and then like this other guy Max comes in to like, I don't know. I've got science stuff for you guys.
He's just a creeper hanging around, you know.
And Adam's like telling him, hey, buddy, you should smile. So there was a point way later in this serial.
I want to say it was like episode 3.
Yes. Where Tony...
Both those characters were in the same scene again.
And Tony's like, I thought they were the same person.
I do that a lot.
They're just two generically handsome looking dudes.
Yeah, they've got same face happening. I see it happens a lot with like CW shows.
Yeah, yeah, that is fair.
When people are like the same template attractiveness that I kind of forget that they're different. And to be fair, I couldn't tell you what like those two characters didn't serve vastly different functions.
They're both scientists. Well, one of them's good and one of them's bad.
That's true.
Yeah. And like Maximilian Stahl or Max, he's all like, he's very sort of, he doesn't really have much of a personality except that he is power hungry. And then Colby is like, he's kind of like jocular and he makes a lot of jokes and he's flirty. And I actually like him because he's like the only normal person throughout like most of what's going on. He's just like, dude, I'm just trying to do my job. I've got this power hungry guy, this guy that's accents all over the place, you know, this girl I have a crush on and she's acting weird, you know. And then the doctor comes in and Leela and Ma Tyler, and yeah, he's just like, oh, I don't even know, man. I feel kind of bad for him.
I just wanted to do one science.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I have my lab coat on. I thought this was going to be it, but yeah.
I do think there's a lot of scenes where he is just being charming. Even in sometimes in scenes where it is not warranted, he's like smirking a lot.
You're like, this is what's happening is sad. Quit smirking.
Yeah, I was watching the documentary about it, and Wanda Ventham was like, you know what? It was so weird because there were these two really good-looking guys. Usually they go all out for the women being really hot, but she was like, I was all a flutter, you know?
I believe you told me prior to us watching this serial that she is Benedict Cumberbatch's mother?
Yep, and she's been in Doctor Who 3 times. She was previously in Doctor Who, and then she's going to be later on in Time of the Rani.
What was the one she was in previously? Just do a quick search on the internets.
The magic of the internet.
Oh, she's blonde.
Yeah, she's blonde. Actually, she says in the documentary that they put her in a dark wig because apparently female scientists can't be blonde.
Oof.
She was in the faceless ones.
Oh, that's right.
That's the one with the plane, right?
It was a Troughton one, I'm pretty sure.
She made calls to the various airports to which the chameleon planes flew.
Oh. Okay.
She's also in Sherlock, too, nowadays. But
who does she play on Sherlock?
She plays Sherlock's mom.
Well, that makes sense. That tracks.
Her real-life husband plays Sherlock's dad, so, like, Benedict has his real parents playing his parents on the show, so it's kind of funny. Yeah, there was this panel thing that David Tennant was on, and he was doing this trivia. It was with him and Matt Smith and Alex Kingston, and they were doing trivia of these fans they'd brought up on stage. And I remember he asked, he's like, what does Image of the Fendal have to do with Sherlock? And nobody knew. And I was like yelling at the screen because it was on YouTube. I'm like, Wanda Phantom! Wanda Phantom! And Hope was like, you are so weird.
Max is walking home in the dark.
Well, no, this is a different, there's a different character that's...
God, I really can't tell any of them apart.
Yeah, he's just a random hiker.
He's just, okay.
This guy dies.
I don't know, you guys.
He was just trying to get to, you know, Mick Jagger's mansion, because that's where it's filmed outside, and he wanted to see Mick Jagger, and he just died. Poor guy.
He's doing a really good rendition of The Entertainer.
I love that song so much.
Then we see the skull is glowing.
Great nightlight.
While Max and this other character, who's sort of the head of this group, his name is Findelman.
It's his wandering accent.
It's very hammy.
It's like, is he German, South African, Italian? What is he?
Whatever it is that he's doing it a lot.
He's got a nice mustache.
Yeah. Well, it's the 70s, so. Yeah.
I think it was supposed to be Italian.
I don't know. I mean, Findelman kind of sounds maybe German, but I don't even know.
Well, we find out where that name comes from later, so it's actually it's Planet Fivian or fifth planet.
Oh, that's why it sounds so weird. It's just not from Earth.
Yeah.
It's not inconsistent. It's just something we're not used to.
He's got this like leftover accent from aliens. He's not an alien, but his accent is.
Race memory. You know, that comes up a lot in this story. Race memory.
But Findelman and Max are working on this computer that is scanning stuff. And it's, like, draining the power from everywhere else. And also, at the same time, this skull is glowing. Thea is, like, drawn to it and starts, like, superimposing with the skull. And, like, we cut back and forth between this and the hiker who is now, like, running from something that we can't see.
The cameraman.
he just really doesn't want to be on TV.
Stop filming me!
They're like, but we love your beautiful whistling voice.
We're coming after you for, like, copyright law, you know, for, like...
So Thea passes out, right?
Yeah, and the guy, the hiker, also, well, doesn't really pass out. He screams and gets apparently attacked by something that we don't know. And then we cut to the TARDIS!
Poor K-9's got all his innards out.
And I found out the reason for all this. K-9 was not originally in this script. He was not originally supposed to be a companion. And
that's right, it was just that he was so expensive, right?
Yeah, they're like, we gotta keep using this guy. And so, like, also, like, the actor, John Leeson, was not paid to be in this episode. Right. So that's why K-9 also does not speak.
Yep, he nods, but he doesn't speak.
The doctor is working on K-9. And I think Leela calls K-9 a he, and the doctor's like, it's an it. And then she's like, you call the TARDIS a she. He's like, no, I don't. She's like, yes, you do. Don't lie to me.
Yeah, they're adorable.
And then Leela proceeds to question his ability to fly the TARDIS, which...
It's accurate.
That's true. And like, she's sort of like mocking the TARDIS a little bit. Him and the TARDIS. And I always love these moments, because every time that happens, the TARDIS, like, tips them all over.
Right. Yeah, she's like, what? You know.
The TARDIS is not putting up with it.
And I do love that Leela's like, I'm so sorry. No, you're awesome. I'm so sorry.
And then they level out, and the doctor's like, your primitive thoughts appeal to the TARDIS.
Rude.
And she's like, thanks. I'm not sure if that's a compliment or not. We should mention Leela has a new outfit.
Yeah, like when she's getting all mad, he just distracts her. He's like, oh, I like your dress. Like, uh-huh. Which, by the way, bothers me to some extent. Like, I don't mind her changing costume, but I'm like, where did it come from? Did she just go in the wardrobe and find something? Or did she make something? Or, like, where did it come from?
That's a good question. I imagine there's just a bunch of, like, clothes that the doctor has stolen for other companions throughout the years.
I mean, he definitely has, like, a big old wardrobe.
Well, yeah, also didn't, like, Sarah Jane straight up wore Victoria's outfit in another one, right?
Yeah. So. But she could have bought it somewhere.
But it is awfully, like, similar to her savagey outfit. So,
well, I know Louise Jameson said that basically it was so that she could go pee easily. Like, it has shorts. It's really hard to see, but you can pull those down and go to the bathroom. And she said that was her main reason for getting it changed.
Tony was like, she looks completely different. I don't know what's up. She looks totally different. And I think it's solely because
her hair is up.
Which there's a story around that, but yeah.
I can't process faces. And so when people's hair change, I'm like, who is that?
What happened to her?
And you're like, is that the guy that was whistling?
It was a haircutting disaster. Like, she had meant to get just an inch cut off, and they cut off like 6 inches or something. So they're like, oh, let's put her hair up. No one will notice.
It looks like it's a completely different color, though. It looked red to me.
She has kind of this reddish brown hair, like in real life. So I don't know.
It looks lighter when it's all pulled up. I don't know. Like, the roots are lighter.
And you can see her eyes more, you know, which of course changed this season, so.
Because of an explosion to the eyeballs.
Right. And the actor saying, I don't want to wear these contacts anymore.
But what really happened that caused the TARDIS to wibble wobble was that it bumped into a time hole.
Relative continuum displacement zone or something.
I've done something I've never done on this podcast before. I have went over my notes and made them make more sense. Usually we're doing this podcast and I'm like reading my notes like, what did I put here? I don't even understand what this means. So I've actually fine-tuned my notes. And in the process, I kind of know what's happening in this serial. more than I did while watching it.
I did not do any prep, so I'm waiting for Joe to explain it to me.
Oh, the TARDIS bumped into a time hole.
Actually, you know, it's funny you say that because I took notes as well, and I was like, okay, I'm going to have to, like, make this make sense to them. And so I paid way more attention. I think I understood it more, too. We just needed to take notes, apparently.
That is a lesson for everybody.
Exactly.
Take notes.
Yep.
But the Doctor is going to trace the energy from this time hole and see where it, like, originated or is going to or whatever, and it leads back to Earth, where 90% of Doctor Who takes place.
Of course.
And then we have a nice breakfast with the scientists. Everybody's hanging out, eating breakfast.
Always my favorite scenes.
Adam's like, I'm going to go for a jog. Everything's very, what's the word I'm looking for? Casual. No.
Mundane.
Domestic.
Domestic. Yes. That's exactly it. Thank you.
Which occurs to me now that I'm thinking about it. He takes Leaky to the dog out for a walk, which is when he finds the corpse. But what happens to the dog after that? Like, the dog never comes back.
Oh, no.
I just realized, I'm like, did the dog implode at the end?
Oh, no.
Oh,
my God. Because it's such a tiny scene. You only see Leaky the dog the one time. Just to find the corpse.
Which I read a thing that the dog is named after some sort of scientist. I don't remember who. Leaky, I guess.
Leaky the scientist. Dr. Leaky.
Chris Boucher. I don't know how you pronounce his name, but the Mighty Boucher.
Boucher. Yeah, I love him. He's my favorite.
You've been pronouncing it wrong, and that doesn't even make sense now.
Yeah, I've been calling him the Mighty Boosh, because I thought it was Boucher.
You'd be like, Boucher.
But apparently he named it after this scientist, and then, like, way later was like, oh no, they're gonna think it's just a dog that pisses on everything.
Maybe that's why they got rid of Leaky.
Maybe, okay, I have a theory about the dog, and I'll tell you what it is later when we get to it.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Leave you guys on a cliffhanger.
You better remember.
Oh, I hope so.
Because I, like, wake up in the middle of the night and go, oh my God, Joe didn't tell me about the dog.
So Adam finds this dead hiker and returns and tells everyone about it. And, like, Max says, like, the creepiest thing right off the bat, which he just says, it's never easy to die. And Adam's like, no shit, Max. What? Why would you say that?
I love also when Fendelman is all like, what sort of corpse? And he's like, a dead one. What other sort is there?
It's just like casual curiosity. Yeah. Like, oh, really? A dead body? Interesting. And he's like, yeah, a dead person. A person who was alive who is now dead. What do we do? Why aren't you freaking out?
Again, Colby is the only normal person here. He's just like, what are these people I'm working with?
But he's not that normal because he kind of quickly agrees to their let's not tell anybody plan.
It's not the most convincing argument.
Right.
It's like, well, we don't really want cops out here. Like, they could shut down your project. And he's like, yeah, I guess you're right.
He also has the added bit of, this place is known as being a haunted forest, and it's sure to get, like, news attention if we say there's a dead body, and there will be news and police, and
we'll just move it somewhere else. And he's like, yeah.
Let's move that body.
Maybe because it's breakfast, it's morning, he's tired. He's just like, yeah, whatever. Let's just not call. You know, it's just like, whatever.
But Fendelman pulls Max aside and says, let's get some security, armed security, and also get that body and tell me what's up with it.
Which conveniently, as a scientist, he can also do like a postmortem. You know, I mean, like, okay.
He's a man of many talents.
Exactly.
And then the Doctor and Leela land and greet some cows.
Good morning, ladies.
I like the idea that maybe the Doctor is not aware of what's the dominant life form on Earth.
Like, he's been wrong about it before, so it's just best to assume that everything's kind of, at least, like, kind of sentient. Sapient? Vince always yells at me about using the wrong one, and now I'm completely unsure.
We know what you mean. But yeah, I mean, even in, like, one of the newer stories, they talk about the Woolly Rebellion, so maybe he was thinking the cows had taken over at this point. I mean, it's logical.
There was also Carnival of Monsters where he talked to some chickens.
I also like the occasional times where he's just like, oh, yeah, I mean, like, they can talk, you guys just don't understand them. I speak cow. I speak baby.
Even though the TARDIS doesn't translate it, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, the Doctor's probably just BSing.
He's full of shit sometimes. It's fine.
Yeah, I talk to my cat all the time. You know, too, but
the cat doesn't talk back. That's the the important distinction.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. When I talk to the cat and she meows back, we are 100% having a conversation.
Do you understand what she's saying?
No, but we're definitely having a conversation.
Yeah, mine might be able to be heard through the door at some point. She always has a lot of feelings about Doctor Who, and she will yell through the door. So.
Keen-eared listeners, translate that cat talk and tell us what they thought about Image of the Fendal.
Yeah, I haven't heard her yet, but we'll see. She's not a Fendal fan, I guess. She's like, oh, that story. No David Tennant?
Cat doesn't like the Fourth Doctor.
You know, it's the scarf. She didn't like scarves.
Any sort of swaying thing. I'm wearing a ridiculous Christmas sweater right now that Tony made for me for our Christmas
we had an ugly sweater party.
And I've got this like really long bow that hangs off of it. And the cat keeps trying to
It has
to
been driving
it.
Her absolutely bonkers.
I bet.
Between that and the sparkly antlers that I was wearing, she is like, what is happening? I need to attack both of you.
I need to save you from these things attacking you.
I'm sorry. I've lost where we are.
I got us.
They were talking to some cows.
Yeah.
And then they take a nap.
Because that's
just
what
got
you
his,
do.
He's just got his hat on his face and he's taking a nap in a field.
Meanwhile, Max has examined the body and says, this hiker died last night, but is, like, already, like, decomposing real fast. And there's no cause of death, but it does have a blister on the back of its, on his back of his neck.
And his face was like, he had a frightened look on his face or something.
That's that classic Doctor Who staple of dying of fright.
I mean, this is a creepy story. I get it.
Yeah, like, that, I'm still wondering when we're gonna get fully, because I know we're about to get fully out of the dark web, as I have called it, darker horror stories and get into the like lighter, sillier, campier stuff.
Well, we're kind of getting there because we're in the Graham Williams era, but this is definitely a throwback to the Hinchcliffe gothic horror sort of stuff. I mean, I always put it on my Halloween recommendations. I think it's great.
Oh yeah, this is a good horror one. This Findelman just says, get rid of the body. We don't need that kind of stuff here.
Yeah, put him in the garbage, you know.
Leela awakens the doctor from his nap.
She's just got a knife on some dude.
Gardner Tedmos.
Who has one of the best lines of the entire show.
Is it this one where, well, first the doctor offers him a jelly baby. We have to say that. But the guy says, did you escape from somewhere? And the doctor says, frequently.
No, I was thinking of, and this is incredibly a horrible line, but he said, they say he made his money out of electronics, but that don't seem likely because he ain't Japanese.
Oh, shit. I forgot about say that.
I was like, what? I always forget that line happens until it happens again.
I think I did just wipe it from my brain.
I remember watching it just going,
oh boy.
I think I always just forget it when it happens. Like, I'm like, whoa. But this time I wrote it down. I was like, oh my God. Yep.
The racist gardener. Is he actually a gardener? I know he says, like, I was hired to.
He says he's a gardener, but he's one of the coven people. So I don't know. I think he's lying about being there to cut down the hedges or whatever it was.
So he sort of just says, there's a bunch of weird stuff going on up at the lab area, the priory. And they're like, oh, cool. We'll go check that out then.
Weird stuff. That sounds like us.
Sounds fun.
Okay. And so then back at the I'm going to say that wrong every time.
Priory.
What have I told you? Just say it with confidence. Just commit.
The priory.
Fine.
So back at the priory, security is now in place. And he's trying to stop this older lady who, honestly, in this scene, is pretty damn creepy. She's like this old woman and she's like, I'm the cook. And he's like, you don't have clearance. That's where I think the dog's not there. He didn't have clearance.
Makes sense.
The dog didn't have security clearance, and they wouldn't let him back in.
He's just walking around going, I want to be let in. Come on.
Like, we got to see your ID.
Or maybe he left, and he was like, these people are crazy. I'm just going to go find another person to feed me.
But he's like, you don't have proper identification or whatever. This is only going to be, like, certain people are allowed in. And then she's like, I put a curse on you!
Sooner or later, he'll be sorry. Later or sooner, he'll regret. Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
I was like, who is this person when it happened? But she's like the best character in this serial.
He has some line, too, where he's like, that's why we used to burn witches, FYI.
Her name, by the way, is Martha Tyler, which, okay, there's Martha Tyler, and she has a grandson named Jack Tyler, who we'll get to later. There's Martha, Tyler, and Jack. Them's all the, like, RTD companions.
Yeah.
Other than Donna Noble. I wonder if he's a big fan of this serial.
Maybe, because he really loves the name Tyler, because he uses it in other things he's done as well. So maybe this was one of his favorites.
It's quite possible. I think maybe Martha Tyler is the ancestor. Well, I don't know how much of an ancestor it'd be. This is like the 70s. But great-great-great-grandmother or whatever of Rose Tyler.
Distant relation.
Do you know when we were watching this, there are a couple of things that the doctor does. So I was like, that was very Tennant-y. I think he does like a well. Well, I just did it very southern. But
well, like he calls the Fendaline like beautiful and that sort of stuff. Like I know the 10th Doctor did that sort of stuff a lot.
Yeah, there were just like one or two mannerisms that I was like, definitely feels like somebody watched this when they were like prepping for that era of Doctor Who.
That was one of David Tennant's favorite doctors growing up, so that would make a lot of sense. And he was probably, oh god, I'm sad that I actually know this, he was like 6 years old when this came out, so. But he was watching by that point, so.
So, the security guy is also just sort of lets Adam and Thea in on the fact that there's a security lockdown.
And they have the jackets on. I mean, if you have a lab coat, you can totally get in.
That's the only identification you need. Though, honestly, the security thing doesn't really do a whole lot. I think Adam goes to talk to Fendelman about this and be like, hey, what's up? Why is this going on? And then he just sort of like, oh, I gotta tell you about my findings. It's very weird. There's this thing in the woods, and we've been scanning it, and we're tracing it through time, but it only works in the dark. I don't know. He just rattles off a bunch of nonsense that I had a hard time following.
Yeah, so did Colby. He was just like, okay, yeah.
All right, slowly backing out of the door here. And then the doctor and Leela are like coming up on the place and they're sneaking around and they see the guards and Leela's like, don't worry, I'll kill him. Doctor's like, how many times I gotta tell you, don't do that thing.
I love though that he's like, no. And she's like, why not? And he's like, you'll upset the dog.
And there's also another point where he just like, all right, Leela?
Yeah.
Leela?
Stay close to me. What? Where are you?
I would still really love to see Leela travel with 13.
Oh, God. That would be awesome.
I don't know. That would be stressful.
Don't kill anyone or I'll kick you off the TARDIS. And, like, Leela's already got, like, a bloody knife. Like, what?
What?
What do you mean? Oh, that's just ketchup. I love Leela. She was my first companion, so I have a lot of feels.
Aw. What was the first one you watched?
Okay, so, like, I don't remember. I remember the first season, which was season, I think it's 14. It's the one with, like, when she first comes on board. I think the one I remember the most is Robots of Death. And I'm going to go with that because that's my favorite of that season. But my first memory of Doctor Who is the secondary console room. And when I looked on PBS to see about when I watched it back in 86, it was playing around that time. So that makes sense. And it was only, the secondary console room was only in season 14. So
I loved that set so much.
Yeah, me too. I was so sad when it just was there, and then I think it got water damaged or something, and they had to stop using it.
The next thing that happens is Thea superimposes with the skull again.
Having a bad hair day.
Which, I don't know if I've, like, we've properly explained what that is. They just show a shot of the skull, and then overlay her face, and it's, like, 50% opacity.
Superimposed, sure.
And they line it up really well. Her eyes are with his eyes.
Every time I watch that, I keep thinking of poor Wanda Ventham, and they're probably like, okay, just stare at the camera for like 5 minutes, you know? Just don't blink.
And then you had to do that with the skull, too. You're like, hey, skull, just sit there for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that's why the skull just quit at the end. Was just like, not doing this again.
The skull was such a prima donna.
I know. They don't talk about that much, but we know.
They don't mention the skull at all in the documentary because no one liked him.
I know. They didn't interview him or anything. I mean, he was probably just like, I am done with Doctor Who.
So this is happening. Leela enters a cottage and someone shoots a shotgun at her. And then something is coming, a POV monster is coming for the doctor who cannot move.
It's the cameraman again. I mean, that cameraman is like, oh my god.
vicious.
The biggest villain on Doctor Who, the
camera. The cameraman.
And that is the end of episode one. And I was like, I don't know what's happening. I love that feeling, though, of like, there's a bunch of weird stuff that just happened. I don't know what it is, but I'm in for it.
But let's go.
So that's the end of episode one. We are now into episode two, which I again have two titles for. The Wandering Armageddon Peddler.
That's pretty solid.
Sounds like a big Finnish title.
Does. I think that's what Adam calls the Doctor that at one point. Because the Doctor's like, it's all gloom and doom. And Adam's like, what are you, some Wandering Armageddon Peddler? And the other one I have is just called The One Who Kills.
Oh, yeah, because that's, Max says that. He's like, leave space for the one who kills or something.
Yeah.
So dramatic.
He always looks pretty constipated. Like, maybe he just needs to take some time in the bathroom.
So you got Charming Guy and Constipated Guy. That's how you tell them apart, Tony.
Exactly. Oh, okay. See, I should watch it again with that in mind, and it would probably, I'd be like, oh.
Click. Everything would click.
The other guy, he's very regular. This guy, not, you know.
So this is how we get out of our cliffhangers.
We just cheat.
Leela didn't get shot. She dodged out of the way. And the Doctor's like, hey, Legs, do your thing. And then they move.
Run.
Hey, she's like talking to him one at a time. Left foot, right foot. So we see the guy who was shooting at Leela. Which, since I didn't know what was happening at the time, I thought maybe this was his cottage, but it's Ted Moss, the gardener, who's wearing, like, this robe now, and there's an owl in the cottage. I thought this was his cottage. I was like, is this some sort of wizard with a shotgun?
He already got dressed for his ritual. He didn't want to change, you know?
I forgot, but there is a live owl just hanging out, and he's not important.
He's just there.
We later find out this isn't his cottage. This is Granny Tyler's, Mother Tyler's, whatever you want to call her. The old lady's cottage.
Actually, you know what? We don't see the owl again either. Maybe the owl went off with the dog.
They're just hanging out.
Where's that Big Finish spinner?
I would love that!
The owl and the dog.
Leaky and Owl Tyler, new from Big Finish.
Just you wait, 2025.
If someone at Big Finish isn't listening to this podcast, they're making a mistake. We've pitched so much good shit on this podcast.
So let's do a quick list. We've got
Family Unit. Which is one of the best.
Which is the Brig raising baby Benton.
Can we have grown-up Benton with the diaper on, though? That could be really interesting.
Oh, I don't want to know about your fetishes.
That's Briggs' fetish, not mine.
Sure. Nice save. We've got Agents of Web, which is the whatever the organization was in.
It was Web.
Yeah. What was that
episode?
What did
it stand
for? I don't remember what it stands for.
World
but it was from.
Ecology Bureau?
Yeah. Sure.
Plant-based crimes.
What was the name of that cereal? That was the Plants of Evil. I don't remember. Seeds of Doom?
Doom is the one with Sarah Jane. Death is the one with the second Doctor.
Yeah, it's the one with like the big plant attacking the castle. Actually, it may even... Is it the same castle from this cereal? Or was that the one in Pyramids of Mars? There's been a lot of castles.
The castle in this one is Stargroves, and that, like I said, is where Mick Jagger lived for a while, and it's also in Pyramids of Mars.
Okay, so we got Family Unit, Agents of Web, and now The Adventures of Leaky and Owl Tyler.
I feel like there was another one that we had.
Probably. We're just a font of great ideas.
We need to pitch those. Pitch those to Big Finish.
I'll get to writing some scripts.
There you go.
So Leela starts beating up Ted Moss. Then a guy in a hat shows up and says, hey, stop that. And stops it.
He threatens her. And I forget with what, but like I think he makes her think that he has a gun.
But he's got like a cane.
Yes.
This is Jack Tyler. This is Granny Tyler's grandson, I assume, because he calls her Gran. Meanwhile, Adam has found Thea just completely zonked out.
Taking a nap.
I don't remember if he wakes her up or not, but he hears a yell, and it's the security guard.
He does wake her up. He takes her with him.
No, because remember she's on the floor, because she's like, I remember her glowing and the Fendaline being all over her or whatever. Now it's all blur.
The security guard got deaded. He also has a blister on the back of his neck. Thea's like zonked out on the floor, and the doctor rushes in, and I swear the first thing he says is, I said don't touch her! Which, did he?
I don't know. I mean, Thea gets touched a lot in this episode. Like, the men are always, like, being really touchy-feely. So maybe he's just trying to come in and be like, stop manhandling her.
So, yeah, they're looking at her, and she starts glowing. There's a couple of... And I hate what I'm about to say. They look like snake turds.
Oh, yeah.
They do, though.
I do know that they were the little sort of flaps, you know, the sort of cobra wing things they have on them were added later because originally they looked more phallic.
That's never stopped Doctor Who before.
I know. There's quite a few of those creatures. But yeah, apparently the producer was like, you should fix that. So they are very odd looking.
They look like elephant trunks to me.
I can see that. Yeah. Apparently, and this is later, but I mean, people have probably seen this, but when the big one comes around the corner and, you know, with Leela and the doctor and Jack and Grandma Tyler, apparently the whole cast just broke out laughing for like 15 minutes. And they had to like calm them down because they saw it coming around the corner. And they're like, what the? Yeah. Yeah.
Doctor says these are a creature from his mythology, from the Time Lord mythology, called the Findling. And then Fimbleman comes in, and I believe the Doctor's like, is your name real? Because what a weird coincidence. And the Doctor, like, tries to do the Doctor thing where he's like, I'm taking control, and let's do this, and let's do that. And Findleman's like, I'm pretty sure you killed that guard. We're going to lock you up. And I'm like, oh, I didn't, what? Usually I take control of these situations a lot quicker. So they lock him in this room and he tries to sonic his way out of it, but it does not work. Back to the cottage, Jack tells Ted Moss, Wizard Gardener, to leave.
Wizard Gardener.
And convinces him to leave and then basically tells Leela that his gran is a witch, basically, and she's gotten herself all mixed up in this nasty business.
She just wanted to be a cook and, you know, all this stuff happened. And
she believes in the old ways. But Leela says, don't worry about her. The doctor will help. He is very gentle. Cut to the doctor kicking a box.
Like kicking stuff around. I love that part.
Those are my favorite cutaways.
I also love that both the Mama Tyler and Jack Tyler have what they call in acting the mummer set accent, which is like this sort of exaggerated West Country accent. Because just the way they talk is just like, it's so fun.
I think it's very endearing in a way. So the doctor is in his cell and he's kicking stuff around because he can't get out. And then just a couple seconds later, the door opens. And this is never explained.
Nope.
Who opened the door?
I don't know. See, I still wonder. The dog. The dog opened the door. With the owl.
The dog and the owl together. This is part of their adventure that we never saw.
They've got like a whole Rosencrantz and Guildenstern thing going on.
Absolutely.
It's happening at the same time.
Okay. Or maybe his sonic worked, but it took a while. It was like delayed.
I guess that's possible, but
I think the dog and the owl is a better.
That's the pilot episode of
yes.
Leaky and Owl Tyler.
It's from their perspective.
Adam is now like, all right, I have literally had too much of this now. I'm going to call the police.
He says, you must think my head zips up the back. Like, what a weird line. Like, are you a Slitheen?
90% of his dialogue is like quippy one-liners. It's great.
He's very much a Moffat character.
Oh, yeah. I can see him being a Moffat character.
I don't say that badly. I love Stephen Moffat. But
oh, I do too.
I like half of Stephen Moffat.
You like the Stephen half, not the Moffat? Yeah.
I think he listened to a lot of the criticism people had and, like, improved, like, with each season.
Adam tries to call the police. It doesn't work. The phone lines are dead. And then Thea just has, like, a breakdown is like, I think it might be me. I think I might be the bad guy.
She's not having a good day.
Adam tries to talk her down a bit. And then, actually, this may be the scene where he goes to talk to Findlayson and not in the last episode.
Oh, yeah, because you get the pentagram and the skull, which is like so gothy. You know, it's like
that last scene where I thought Adam was talking to Findlayson. That is just Findlayson hanging out with somebody else. Probably Max. I don't remember.
They got the same face. Well, you can't.
This scene, though, it is Adam talking to Findlayson, and this is when he starts rambling about how the skull is extraterrestrial. He's tracked the skull through time. It's got this neural circuit thing on its head. And he's like, let me show you the x-rays. But what he shows in the x-rays, it's got a pentagram in the back of his head. And he's like, it's actually a neural circuit that transmits energy as a signal to aliens that there is intelligent life on this planet.
Okay, yes. What? This is where things start to get kind of sketchy for me. I follow their, like, it's a pentagram, and it makes sense that, like, it's always been a symbol of, like, power, because this is, like, it's this neural network thing. What else does it do? What does it have to do with aliens?
Well, this alien is, yeah, we'll get more to that, but the alien is telepathic, so it's kind of based on that.
Okay.
Well, we'll learn more as the plot continues.
It's going to get really info dumpy.
So while this is all, like, happening, intercut with all this is also Ted Moss shows up and talks to Max and is, like, warning him, the doctor is coming, Leela, and they're all going to try to, you know, mess with your shit. The doctor's actually listening in on this while it's happening because he's mysteriously gotten out of his cell. And this is also when they, like, start talking and, like, you know.
It's sort of like, there must be 12. And, that's when he says the line that you had for your title, which was, like, the one that kills or whatever.
Yeah, we must be 12. 13 be the number. A place must be left for the one who kills. And he also says that, basically says that Max is the leader of their coven.
Which is so weird because Max is, like, the least charismatic person amongst, like, most of the cast. I'm like, how is he the leader of the coven?
I could actually see Adam being a leader more than I could Max.
Exactly. That would have been a great, like, reversal at the end. It's like, he's really the bad guy and everyone's working for him, but...
Like, I feel like he could convince more people by just being, like, a charming dude.
Max is just constipated and, like, annoying. And then he, like, chloroforms Thea. Like, what? He's a creeper.
Yeah, like, Thea superimposes again with the x-ray this time and not the actual skull. And, Max sneaks up behind her, chloroforms her, and says, she is the chosen one.
Right, because...
She's the chosen. Well, it's because the skull's been superimposing with her.
The skull picked her, you know, it's probably the lottery, you know, and she got picked. She's the only girl. I don't know. Actually, that probably was it, you know, because the Fendel core is female, and so maybe.
Well, also, I think... She was the only one in the room with the skull.
When it, like, activated?
Yeah, when they were scanning the time fissure, the time hole, that's what gave it power. Because, like, them scanning it, like, gave it energy.
Yeah, like you'll do.
She was the nearest thing when it got jazzed up with power.
Got it. Okay.
And women are bad, right? You know, so they're the baddie. Oh, come on, it's the 70s, so...
Also, Granny Tyler has showed up at the cabin, terrified, and says that there was something chasing her in the woods, and she saw it with her mind, and it's hungry for her soul.
It were hungry for my soul. Yeah. It probably just wanted some, like, snacks. I mean, she's a cook. It makes sense.
It's true. You know, you have chicken noodle soup for the soul? Yes. This is like, chicken noodle soup is the soul for what? Aliens. What? You're looking at me like I'm an idiot.
I don't understand what you just said.
It makes about as much sense as the plot.
Because the thing wants to eat her soul.
Like it's soup?
Well, you've heard of chicken soup for the soul, right?
Yeah.
So this is the soul is the soup. Because it's going to eat it.
Like soup.
Yes. Is that what you're slurp it up with a spoon. All right. Moving on. So the doctor goes into the lab. Or the, I don't know if it's a lab necessarily. I guess it's a lab with that has the skull in it. It's just poking around, steals a bone randomly.
I'll take that.
Yeah, and it was an old bone too.
And then offers the skull a jelly baby. That apparently works because the skull starts lighting up like, give me that jelly baby.
Yeah, it's hungry. I mean, we've established that.
And then
does it want soup?
Soul soup, Tony. Soul soup. And the doctor is, like, compelled to touch the skull and grabs the top of the skull. And then, like, it's not good.
It's real bad.
He does an amazing job acting here. Like, yeah. I buy that.
Like you he's can in pain. Not just that he's in pain, but that, like, he doesn't want to touch it. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's there's something about it that's making him touch it anyway. Like, him, like, sort of fighting himself.
And for Tom Baker, it's actually kind of underplayed. I mean, it's not, like, super low-key, but, I mean, usually he's, like, you know, out of 10, he's about a 50. So, I mean, he actually, I really like that scene.
I do. I do, too. I think it was really good. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's actually a really good actor.
Yeah, that scene is really convincing, and it's just because of him. Like, that's it.
I feel like there's a lot of time that we talk about, like, oh, this is a good episode for the companion, or, oh, this is the villain was good. I feel like we forget sometimes to say that the doctor is good, because, honestly, I forget that he's acting, because he just is the doctor. So sometimes, like, a scene like this, like, really stands out to me, because I'm like, oh, he's actually doing some, he's got some chops here, you know?
Yeah, I think he's actually really good in the serial on the whole.
The time hole.
And the time hole.
Is it related to the time crack?
Ooh, maybe.
I think they're both called Time Fissures.
I mean, we do have Time Fissure, which that reminded me of Unquiet Dead with Gwyneth, you know, because she grew up with a Time Fissure nearby, and so she was psychic.
Was that the, was it Twain? Mark Twain?
No, it was Charles Dickens.
Charles Dickens, one of those dudes.
One of those old gray-haired guys.
What writes books that I've definitely read?
Of course, same thing. Identical white men.
But that is the end of episode 2. We are now into episode 3, which I only have one title for, which is The Visions of Granny Tyler.
5 out of 10.
That's not bad. My last episode, though, is going to be great.
All right.
Oh.
Don't look ahead, because it's on my notes, but it's good. Did you just look at
I
it?
I did. The minute you told me not to, I looked instantly, like it was an instinct.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Is it
it's
good, Tony? Good.
It's
okay.
Pretty good.
Because I don't want to, like, get a real big build-up and it be really bad.
Oh, it's going to be bad.
Oh, okay.
But I in see. A good way. So, the doctor is all touching the skull, and Leela comes in and tries to get him off of it, and it's not working. So, she kicks the chair right out from under him.
And he falls on top of her.
Oh, and then it's real adorable. They both at the same time go, are you all right?
Yeah. And you are very heavy. I admit it. I ship the two of them. I do. And
aww.
I love that part.
I don't think I've shipped, at least so far in Classic Who, I haven't really shipped any of the Doctor and his companions. I've definitely shipped Ian and Barbara.
Oh, well, yeah.
Jamie and the Doctor, I was about to say, are platonically in love.
Yeah, Jamie and the Doctor is the closest I've come to shipping.
I think they were space married. They were very touchy-feely.
I feel like I shipped Benton with someone, but I don't remember who. I actually liked
yourself.
Benton.
Joe and Benton forever. That's aww. What all. That's what all his notebooks say.
I was about to say I actually liked Joe and Benton, like Joe from the show, not Joe me. Joe and Benton. I liked Joe and Benton better than I did Joe and Backstabber, Betrayer, Gates.
They were trying to make that happen, and yeah, I shipped Nyssa and Tegan, but you haven't gotten there yet. So
the doctor says the skull is rebuilding itself and that it eats life.
Yum.
Life soup. Life and soul soup. And then Max wakes up Thea for a ritual, I guess? She's all tied up in a pentagram.
Which I kind of wonder where that came from, because it's in the cellar of a priory. So obviously it wasn't there when it was an open priory, because a church wouldn't put a giant pentagram down there, so maybe him and his followers, like, made it? I'm not sure.
Well, I'm just learning that a priory is a church.
Well, it's like a sacred space sort of thing. It's like monks would live in a priory sort of situation.
I did not know that. I don't know a lot of things.
It's okay. That's why I'm here.
This whole podcast.
That is why we have guests.
This is an educational... This is an educational show.
For us.
Yeah.
Doctor Who was... It was intended. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm learning things even now.
You know who Mark Twain is, maybe? You know
he
who Dickens
is not
now.
Charles Dickens.
You know they're not the same person.
I should have known it was Charles Dickens because it was like ghosts and stuff and like Christmas Carol. I know the Christmas Carol.
Yeah, it's not like somebody painted a fence.
An evil fence. That's how they trapped the alien. They trapped it inside the fence.
They tricked it into painting a fence.
They've painted it its own prison.
Oh, okay.
That's the only thing I know.
There's also a raft.
There's a raft. That's it. Those are the two things.
We actually have a movie about Mark Twain that I really want to see, and I haven't gotten around to watching it yet. That claymation movie that has
We own that?
Yeah.
The Adventures of Mark Twain.
Where there's that really terrifyingly creepy... The mysterious stranger thing that I've seen on YouTube, and it's terrifying. Basically, in that movie, Mark Twain is the doctor, and he's got these kids, and they're like going around in a like time and space machine.
Oh, awesome.
And he teaches them about the devil. Chris Cherry reviewed it.
Yeah, previous guest Chris Cherry did it's on YouTube. It's called Chris Cherry Reviews a Thing. We made him watch stuff, and he reviewed it for us.
It's that in the wild. So it was mostly.
Mostly weirdly religious films.
Christian kids entertainment.
Yeah.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, that's a plug for Chris Cherry Reviews a Thing, a like 10-year-old video on YouTube.
Digressed a little bit.
Okay, so Granny Tyler is in like she's in shock. Yeah, she's in trance. And the doctor and Leela show up and he's like, we gotta wake her up. And he asks Jack for some tea and fruitcake. He likes fruitcake.
That's the only reason why he asked for it.
And I love that Leela also always calls Miss Tyler old woman. It's like, old woman!
The way that they wake her up is the doctor's, like, giving instructions for...
making a fruitcake.
And they're really bad instructions. And she's like, wakes up to just be like, no!
I don't know why to make a fruitcake.
And it works, so that's cool. Then we get some, like, exposition about, like, the time fisher, the time hole... whatever you want to call it.
Either way, it sounds kind of gross.
It does. The time sphincter. No.
No, thank you.
Which is very weirdly related to Max and his constipation. I don't understand. Maybe he needs a time fissure.
It's all interconnected. So the time thing caused the haunted forest. It's like
echoes.
Echoes, yeah.
Yeah, I think he says like time distortion or something.
Right, and also because Granny Tyler grew up next to it, she has this, it like lets her see into the future and stuff. So she has the second sight. It's not like she's got magical powers, it's just she's got brain, like time leakage in her brain. Oh, that sounds...
So much leakage.
Time leakage from the time sphincter.
No. Leaky dog.
Oh, no. How do we get this back on track?
That's Leaky and the Owl's first story, is time leakage.
So gross. Okay, Dr. like, we should go check out this time fissure and see where it comes from. And Granny gives Leela a charm.
Which was meant for Ted Moss, but it's too late for him.
Right, because he's evil.
He's a bad gardener, okay?
And they're like, we'll be back by sundown. And then Granny tells Jack that the evil thing from her vision, 'twere a woman. Meanwhile, though, Max has pulled a gun on Fendelman and Adam, tied them up in the basement in the little ritual area. They've tied them up to some pillars and does, you know, the villain thing of like, let me tell you how I got here.
And I still don't understand it.
Well, he says he started the cult.
Okay.
Because Granny, I almost said Granny Weatherwax. That's the wrong. Granny Tyler's visions were coming true. And then like, he's like, I should capitalize on that. So it's all legit stuff. So I'm going to start a cult.
He was bored, you know, something to do.
Just get some power somehow. Then the Doctor and Leela go to check out the time fissure with the TARDIS. And Leela wonders, how did the... Because the Doctor's like, it's from the fifth planet. Let's go to the fifth planet. I don't know how the Doctor knows about the fifth planet. Well, it's from part of the mythology.
Yeah, it's part of the
but there is also no records of it.
Right, which is, I think, meant to be the asteroid belt, from what I understand. Like, in our solar system. Because he even mentions Mars. When it gets blown up.
Well, Leela's like, well, how did it get from this fifth planet to Earth? And the Doctor's like, it psychically projected itself to Earth and maybe imprinted into people's race memory.
Or DNA or something, yeah.
And that's why some people, like, have these, like, you know, they think they've, like, lived another life or whatever, like, past lives. But that's, or and also that's where deja vu comes from, because you're getting stuff psychically from this Findle skull.
And astral projection and stuff.
Okay, so it was, like, on Earth for a long time, and, like, psychically imprinting on people?
Yes.
Do you, like, throughout history?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
And sort of molding them to be usable for them.
So they could eventually get someone to give them energy.
Whose skull is it?
It's the last Fendel.
But the Fendels don't have, like, heads.
Yeah, it's not really super clear. Maybe it was in an old person or something. I don't know. It's not really clear why it has a humanoid skull.
Maybe it's a Fendel that imprinted on a Time Lord.
Oh, that's a good point, because the Time Lords are the ones that got rid of the Fendaline and blew up or got rid of the planet. And then they put the planet in a time loop to make the records about it invisible. Because the doctor's all like, whoa, they shouldn't be able to do that. That's illegal.
Also, what does that mean?
Basically, it got taken out of existence because it's now just stuck in a time loop. So it's like it never existed. It's just stuck inside like a...
Because it was really bad and the Time Lords were mad at it because it was eating life.
Like, it's in its own bubble.
Yeah, they took it out of existence.
Okay.
Out of the time-space continuum into its own little time loop.
Guys, this is how I felt the whole time we were watching this serial. I normally don't struggle this much, I swear.
It works better when you rewatch it. You kind of will absorb more of it.
It also helps when you read the wiki and the transcript.
I was also very fidgety that day. I was not in, like, the best frame of mind. The best, most attentive state I could have been in.
And there's a lot going on in this, so...
Yeah, it's very dense.
Which I love, but it is a lot.
Yeah, and especially, like, when they call... Like, I always have this problem in, like, these longer serials when they call back something from episode 1 and episode 4, and I'm like, I don't remember that! But back on Earth, Grandma Tyler and Jack are awaiting the doctor's return. Well, then he's like, he hasn't showed up. He was supposed to be back real soon. And she's like, I don't trust people in hats.
And I love Jack's like, I have a hat on.
She's like, that's different. I bought that hat for you.
Well, I think she says that hat belonged to your father, and he was a real dick.
And you know where he is now.
He says granddad wore hats. And she was like, yeah, and proves my point. And he's like, I wear a hat. And she's like, oh, that's different. I bought you that hat.
You're my little boo-boo.
And then she starts filling his bullets up with salt.
Rock salt.
Because she's so superstitious. But it works out. The doctor is coming back. He's figured out that the skull got energy from the scanner scanning the time fissure. And he's like, I don't know why I didn't think of this before. I was not thinking clearly because I was frightened by this mythological creature from my childhood. And Leela just goes...
Because that's the kind of thing that the doctor gets on to Leela for all the time.
And I love that Leela's like, we've got to hurry. We're going to be late getting back. And I'm like, you're in a time machine? Like, okay.
Technically, you could just return.
Before you left.
Yeah, if you wanted to. Though I feel like it's only fairly recently that the doctor has had as much control over the TARDIS as he's had.
That is very true.
Like, I think it was literally the last episode where I was like, oh, wait, he, like, very purposely went somewhere.
Yeah, he's got a kind of on-off control from the TARDIS.
I mean, that even lasts to today, so. Back at the mass ritual thing, Fendelman starts to realize that things are bad.
Yeah, he's like, oh, and you get the thing with the name. Because I love how they just leave it where the doctor's like, oh, is that your real name? But you don't get a thing with it until later when he's like, oh, I understand why the doctor asked about my name now.
You know? He's basically like, the Fendel have been using me and my ancestors to get to this point, to get this power. Don't you get it? Man of the Fendel? Fendelman. Oh, snap, son. And then Max shoots him.
Yeah, so I was just like, bam, shut up.
Stop revealing the plot.
Stop trying to make it make sense.
I understand it now, but when I was watching it at the time, I was like, what does that mean? Fendelman, man of the Fendel, I don't, what? But I guess it sort of makes sense. It's been imprinting on his family, trying to get things to this point.
It's also an interesting conclusion for him to come to. I mean, it is what's happening, but for him to jump to that is kind of odd. Where he's like, oh, I get it. Yeah.
Like, also, the doctor could have just made all that shit up. He's like, you're just saying that it was my name. So then Granny and Jack break into the... not necessarily break into. They just walk in.
Walk into the Priory. I guess the rest of the security is gone, or maybe the only security guy was the one guy.
I think it was just the one guy.
They all went off with the owl and the dog.
They're their backup unit. So
they're off at night.
I want to see that story. That'll be fun. So they break into the, or they walk into the priory. The Doctor and Leela also show up, and then so does the giant Findelane.
Your notes calls it a giant turd.
He just wants to say hi. He's like, hey, everybody.
And everyone is shocked into not being able to move by how just ridiculous this thing looks. And that is the cliffhanger. That is the end of episode 3. Ooh. We are now into episode 4, Ooh. Which I have called Oi Gestalt.
You shouted it so loudly.
I was very excited about it.
It startled me a little bit.
Oi Gestalt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. I already complimented you once again.
Can't do it again.
Yeah.
That's fair. So everybody can't move. The Doctor has a little bit more control of it. So he shoots it with
the rock salt
and tells everyone to run while it's distracted.
Everyone's like, we can.
But because it's big, thing's been shot, they do get to run away. Then Thea gets upgraded to the gold package.
And she kind of rises up like Bela Lugosi, you know?
She gets a whole new outfit. It's just this gold garment thing. And
very flowy, kind of like Roman.
Which in the documentary she's talking about, she auditioned for Goldfinger, the James Bond movie. And she would have been painted up in gold and she didn't get it. And like the person who did get it like is now famously like, hey, it's the woman that was gold in Goldfinger. And then she was like, got this script. And she's like, hell yeah. Now I get to be gold.
And I, you know, some people hate it, but I love the painted on eyes. But it would be terrible to cosplay because you'd be like stumbling everywhere, like trying to walk around with your eyes closed.
And your arms outstretched, just clotheslining people.
They'd be like, I'm sorry, miss, you have to leave the con. You keep hurting people.
She does like what you said. She like slowly rises up. And then, like, looks at Ted Moss and turns him into one of the snake things.
Yeah, the little baby ones.
And Max goes, what? This isn't what was supposed to happen.
That's probably the most animated he gets in the entire story.
I feel like he said it right to the camera. I don't think he did, but that's the feeling
I got.
He
was like, well, this sure is unexpected.
And then Thea turns towards him and just, like, smirks. Like, yeah, I did that.
I used you.
And then I think like Granny gets like a flash of it or something. And then she's just like complaining to Jack about it. She's like, whew, I am almost too old for this shit.
I love that part.
Ha, I am 3 days from retirement. From being a cook. So Leela and the Doctor go in there and try to help people. They free Adam, who, like, yells out at, like, somebody. And they're like, shut up, we're being sneaky. Which they're not being that sneaky. They're kind of walking around in, like, open view of this gold lady.
But her eyes are closed. So it's fine.
I mean, technically.
She's distracted by the other ritual people. She's like, okay, I do this one, and then I kill this one, and so they're in line.
It is great when, like, they're sneaking away, and in the background, she's just, like, waving her arms into the air menacingly at people.
I'm blind! But, oh, God, the scene with Stahl, though, with the gun was, I was like, wow. I always forget how dark that is.
Because he can't move because he looked her in the eyes. And if you look her in the eyes, you get frozen. And he asks the Doctor to get him a gun.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, that won't hurt her. And he's like, it's not for her.
It's for me. And then the Doctor gives him the gun and walks off. And then you hear a gunshot off screen. In the original script, he puts the gun in his mouth.
What?
And then they were like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
You should cut that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Let's have that happen off screen. What do you say? It's still effective. So then they all, like, reconvene. And then Adam gets told by two different people, you almost got us killed down there.
And then he says to Jack when he's like, look, don't you threaten me, Swede-bashing cretin. And I was like, all right.
Wait, is he supposed to be Swedish?
No. Swede is rutabaga. That's what they call rutabaga in England.
I'm learning things. Again.
Now, I don't know what they mean bashing. Maybe for, like, mashed Swede, because you would have, like, Scots call it, that's what they call parsnips, and they would call it neeps, where they mash it up almost like mashed potatoes. So maybe that's what he means, but it's still an odd insult. Very classist.
Wow, I am seriously learning so much.
I am a nerd.
Who knew that this would be such an educational podcast?
You learned about rutabagas, yes.
So, the doctor examines the dead Fendaline that he shot, and he's like, oh, salt kills it. So I guess it's actually supposed to be more of a slug than a snake.
I love that he says that whole thing about, like, sodium chloride and affecting its, you know, conductivity, and Leela's just like, salt kills it.
Yeah, that sounds less impressive, though. And he's also like, this is probably where...
Throwing it over his shoulder, yeah.
So the doctor goes and turns off the scanner, because the scanner's been on this whole time feeding the thing energy. And he's like, well, cool, I saved the world. I thought for a second, like, oh, is that the end of the episode?
I turned it off. We're done.
I'm just wondering about the electric bill with the scanner on all that time. That can't be fun.
Especially, like, it's, like, draining power, too, from everywhere. But the doctor says... The Fendal is a gestalt, which is like a creature that is, or something that's like made up of a bunch of parts. So it's not complete yet because Max is dead and the giant slug he killed. And like it needs 13. 13 be the number.
It's like an anime where they all link up together and become a giant Fendal.
Then they split off and you can like ride inside of them. Like there's yes! a tiger.
I'm sorry, is your reference point for anime the Power Rangers?
Yeah. I haven't seen any anime.
That's okay. Mine's just like Gatchaman and Battle of the Planets. You know, I haven't seen much either. Oh, and Ultron.
The only anime I've seen is Cowboy Bebop and a little bit of Death Note. That's it. And a couple episodes of, what is it? Magic Madoka. I don't know. I had a really long name. But it was like about a ballerina who gets superpowers. Anyway, so they're like, all right, salt. Let's get super salty. So Granny's like, those charms I gave you? Salt. So they're weapons now.
Because Granny is a badass. She has the weapons.
She knows what's up.
Yeah.
She is prepared.
Yeah.
But then they go and they're like, let's raid the kitchen and get all the salt we can. And the doctor's like futzing around with the scanner and the salt and is like, all right, let me give you some exposition here for those who are still confused. And then he gives it and I'm still confused, but now I know what's going on. He basically says he had 8 life. Time Lords put it in the time loop, got it out of, you know, removed it from the history books, just took care of it, but like it escaped to here, then like psychically projected itself and may have even guided human evolution, which would explain humanity's dark side.
But that was just a theory of his.
How many aliens have guided human history in Doctor Who?
Kind of a lot. I think they're just, we're like the planet, they're like, hey, I feel like guiding some life forms. I've heard Earth is really good, you know, and it's just like, it's on the sort of tourist guide for Earth, you know. You can like control these people and you can guide them in whatever way you want, you know.
So aliens, we are sheep.
I mean, we are pretty susceptible to mind control, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. I agree. You make a very convincing argument.
I agree totally.
I will follow you wherever you lead.
I can't move my feet.
That's the next scene that happens. Jack is confronted by Thea and one of the giant slugs, and he freezes up. I think, so because it can project, I think that's what this is. This is Thea projecting. It's not actually her.
I think so. Because she's still in the basement.
Yeah, I think she's stuck to the pentagram until she's fully formed. So, but he can't move, and he's like, and Leela's like, why'd you look at him, idiot? And then, like, knocks him out, takes his gun, and shoots.
Yeah, she, like, karate chops him.
And she shoots the giant slug with salt, and, Thea disappears. Now, the doctor has come up with a plan. He's like, he tells Adam, give us a few minutes. We're going to run into the basement. We're going to steal that skull. You give us, like, a warning. We'll get out of there. You get out of there. And then this place is going to blow up. You hit this button after 3 to 4 minutes. Like, after 3 minutes, then get out of there.
And it's going to implode.
He shuts the door, and he opens it, and he goes, 3 minutes, and holds up 4 fingers. This is not the time to be confusing him.
Yeah, no, it's like at first you're like, is he trying to secretly say 4 minutes or is he just wrong with his fingers, you know?
Spoilers, it's all fine. It all works out in the end.
And also there's a part, I think it's right before that, when Tom Baker looks directly at the camera And he's like, time's running out.
Just for those at home.
Yeah, in case you were wondering.
Let me update you on the sitch. So that Leela and the doctor go into the basement area. They're like throwing these salt bombs. The doctor gets the skull, which he's like right next to two of the tiny snake, like slug things that do nothing.
They're just like distracted or something. I don't know.
They just wobble around and let him take the skull. But he gets the skull. They run out. There's one last encounter with Thea that's like, and he's like, just don't look at it. And they walk through it. And at that point, I was like, what is that? What is that supposed to be? But it's, I think it's Thea and she's psychically projecting herself.
It's one of those like Halloween projector things, you know, to scare the kids. It isn't really, you know, a ghost or whatever. She just set up a projector to scare people.
And the place is like coming down around them.
And the music's playing backwards, which I love that part.
And like the footage starts going backwards too when the place explodes. There's flames like getting sucked in. I love reverse footage. I don't know why.
I'm impressed every time.
I know what it is. And I'm like, well, that's reverse, but it's still like, that's cool.
I wonder if that's because they said in the documentary that the something had caught on fire. I think it was a generator had caught on fire.
Oh, no.
Maybe that's what they were filming. Like, it wasn't supposed to. They had to write a letter to Mick Jagger to say, sorry, we freaked out your neighbor. There was a fire.
And it caught fire. And like, don't put it out yet. Film it.
Film it. We can use that.
Oh, another thing. When it, like, starts exploding and everything, Granny Tyler, Jack Tyler, and Adam. Adam was another companion in New Who, too, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. The failed companion. And, like, he left in, can't remember the name of the story. Long Game.
Yeah. I'm telling you, RTD got them all from this cereal. Anyway, they all run and they go to the back to Granny's cottage.
And they have a little cuddle party under the table.
It's so cute.
I loved it so much. But then it explodes and everything is done. And then the doctor's like, let's just bolt. Like, we don't have to tell them goodbye. They're good.
Yeah, they'll just have tea, which, you know, at the end, I think they do. It's like, go put the kettle on.
And I'll make some actual good cakes.
Actual fruit cake.
They get in the TARDIS and they're going to go dump that skull in a supernova.
Like you do.
Which I read on the TARDIS Wikia in a Big Finish story. Doesn't go very well. It actually, like, repowers it.
Oops.
But the last thing we get, and honestly, I think this scene is kind of weird.
Terrifying.
I don't know what, like, the way this scene...
The TARDIS scene?
Yeah, this way it's, like, acted and, like, filmed and the... I don't know. Everything, like, comes together oddly. And it's like... It's not a creepy scene, but the way it's presented feels creepy to me in a way I don't understand.
There's some weird pauses between the two of them that are like, what? What is happening?
Yeah, because like just the dialogue itself is actually kind of cute, but the way it's presented is like, I feel uncomfortable. Because basically the doctor says something about, well, time to get back to fixing K-9. And he says him. And Lilo's like, you said him. And he's like, well, yeah, after all, it is my dog, isn't it? And then K-9 nods. But, like, that's cute. But like,
and he also, like, compliments her dress, and she's like, it's my old one.
Oh, yeah, that's true. She, like, pulls her hair back down, too, because her hair had grown back a bit. But I don't know. Like, yeah, this whole scene is, like, cute in theory.
He says it. He's like, I can. After all, he's my dog. And then it, like, holds on his face for, like, 20 more seconds, and you're like, okay? And then he's like, aren't you K-9? And then it's still his face.
Then it's her face.
And then it like finally cuts to K-9 and K-9 is just silently nodding.
Like,
for like ever. And then the scene's finally over.
Yeah, it feels like they're like acting it like they're fighting, but the dialogue is like they're ribbing each other. I don't know. It is very odd.
I wonder if they were just like a little bit short and they were like, just stretch that scene out.
Just look at the camera. For a long time. You can do that, can't you, Tom?
But that's it. That is the end of Image of the Finn Doll. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back for final thoughts. Woo!
Looking for a different perspective on both new and classic Doctor Who? Come check out the Terminus Doctor Who podcast at terminus.libsyn.com. Or come look for us on iTunes or your other favorite podcatchers as part of the ESO Network. The Terminus Doctor Who Podcast. Queer, opinionated, Whovian, female.
And we're back. Wasn't that a great ad?
I had a nice nap while you were gone.
Did you dream about being stuck to the ground and not being able to run?
Weirdly, yeah.
Oh my god, so did I!
I have that dream all the time. I actually used to have, like, what's it called?
You have sleep paralysis.
Sleep paralysis, yeah. That's not fun. But, hey, Tony.
Yes.
Do you know what time it is?
Let's see, I can look it up real quick. It is 8:53 p.m.
Sure, sure, sure.
It's 12/17. It's the 17th of December.
Uh-huh.
I think it's a Monday.
Oh, by the way, this is our first episode of the new year. Happy New Year's, everybody.
Is it really?
Yeah.
When does this go up?
I don't know. Like this.
Just sometime in January.
Sometime in January.
Happy New Year! It's 2019.
How's 2019? We're not quite there yet.
Well, Joe has the time fissure running next to him, so he can see the future. That's why.
Let me take a peek. Oh no.
Oh, shit.
Oh no.
Something's got to be done about our kids.
Are they Fendaline?
Yes. We need to gather all of the people that help out. We need Leaky. We need Al Tyler and the Agents of Webb and Family Unit. So, Tony.
Yeah.
What time is it?
I believe it's time for final thoughts.
Final thoughts!
As I said, this is one of my favorites. It's on my Halloween recommend list. I love Chris Boucher's stories. I think he's really good with character bits, and I think all the characters in this are very well drawn and a lot of fun. Some of them are incredibly weird, but I like that. I like the gothic horror feel because I'm really easy for that. And the minimal incidental music is really cool. It makes it even more creepy. And that's all I'm thinking of. Yeah, that sounds good. Oh, and Wanda Ventham is amazing. I love her.
Okay, so while I was watching this, I was admittedly confused for a lot of it.
If you go back and you watch our live streams that we do that are archived for patrons, you can see me and Joe multiple times both going, "What?" when, like, exposition was happening.
I'll have to sync up and watch that and see how it goes. Could be entertaining.
But even though I was confused while watching it, it wasn't that I wasn't enjoying it. I definitely enjoyed it. This serial definitely has a mood. It's that horror thing again. It's very creepy. It's the Doctor and Leela are great. Everybody's acting great. Even though I don't know what's going on, I'm still like, well, that's scary. So I did enjoy it, and like actually preparing my notes for this serial, I enjoyed even more, like knowing what it is. Like it makes more sense now. It wasn't like they were just like making stuff up, but like it all connects.
It gets better when you rewatch it because of that. You can go, oh, okay, I know what's happening now.
Right, exactly. Maybe like this serial could have been a little clearer written and less maybe exposition dumpy in a way. But I enjoyed it. I'm a little bummed we didn't get K-9 because I was like, oh, cool, we got K-9 now. I'm like excited to see what they do with him because I don't know if he's going to be good or not.
I love K-9 so much.
That's what I'm hoping. Because, I don't know, I could see like a robot dog sidekick being kind of annoying, but I hope that doesn't happen. I don't think it will.
Well, I'm not going to say that he's not great all the time. I mean, he is quirky and goofy and campy, but I love that. So, depends on what you like in a character.
I think I'm going to like him. I like this serial a lot. I thought it was, I don't think it's the Mighty Boosh's. I can't say that anymore.
You can't. Now you have the knowledge that it's wrong.
Well, I don't think it's his best script. I still think that's probably Robots of Death, but it's good. And I think this is his last one, and I wish there was more, because I dig what he does.
Yeah, he went on the Blake 7 after this, so.
So, Tony, what are your final thoughts?
I don't have a lot of them. This wasn't one of my favorites, which isn't to say that I didn't enjoy watching it. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of really good moments in it. I really like the Granny Witch character.
Granny Tyler?
Granny Tyler, yeah. She's a really fun character. Her and her grandson, they're fun to watch interact, and the Doctor has some really good moments. Doctor and Leela are adorable, as always. They play really well off of each other. Yeah, I don't have a lot to say about this one. It was one that I was just like, that's pretty good.
Do you understand it better now?
Yes, I Yay. Do.
We did a good job!
Yay!
And it's much more clear to me now what happened in it.
We all learned something.
It's a very, very educational show for all.
All right, before we wrap things up here, is there anything you would like to plug?
Well, I guess I could plug my podcast. Again, it is the Terminus Doctor Who podcast. You can find it at terminus.libsyn.com. It's also on, like, Facebook and Twitter, but that will get you to all the links.
It's part of the ESO network too, right?
Yes, it is. A proud member of the ESO network.
If you liked this episode, you can check out more on watchyourassalon.com and be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes. It does iTunes magic, and then people are like, whoa, cool podcast, right?
It definitely helps us be seen by more people on iTunes. The more reviews and such that you have, the more the algorithm cares about your existence. So please do that. It's super, super helpful.
And if you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to watchyourassalon.com/support. And there you'll find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon. And there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like day early episodes, uncut video of the podcast records, bonus episodes, and live streams where we watch the episodes and go, huh? A lot.
You can watch us be confused in real time.
Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
You can follow him on Tumblr at mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. And last but not least, want to give a special shout out to Vincent E.L. for doing our theme song.
Thanks, Vince.
You can check out their website at swinglish.nu. And tune in next time when we talk about The Sun Makers with returning guest Nathan Laws of the 42 cast.
Another ESO member.
This is a very ESO era of our podcast. But thanks for listening. Keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you forever.
Aw, goodbye, everybody.
There's going to come a time when I'll be too old for this sort of thing.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the T Public store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.